This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns and Chad P.
You are supposed to sit in such a way that your right foot is under the instrument with the thing sitting on your foot. Look up a guy playing it. It looks like the most uncomfortable. I know.
You're trying to
I don't bend this way.
Trying to do yoga lattes over there.
As I hit 40, I stopped bending in certain positions.
Class is in.
Hey, it's summertime. Your finals are over. My class is over, and summertime is upon us. And you bothered me for about, 3 hours the other day.
When?
Last week's show, as we were talking about the 12-string guitar.
Yeah.
Remember you brought up the zither?
Yeah, the
and
zither.
And I didn't know about it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that bugged me. So what I did was go and research the zither, and no, we're not doing a show on the zither.
Well, I wouldn't put it past you.
Not that the zither isn't in rock and roll music, because it is, but we're not doing a show on the zither.
But you had to go look it up, huh?
I did. I had to go look it up and figure out why I haven't heard of this thing.
Why does it kill you when I know something that you don't?
Because I'm shallow and self-centered. By the way, I'm Joe Burns. Who are you?
Chad P.
Okay, that's out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What I did is I started looking at this thing, and it reminded me a lot, because strings vibrate at the same time other strings are being played, sort of vibrate in harmony, of the sitar.
The penniless sitar player.
That's right, the sitar player. The people who keep moving along with the hurdy-gurdy, man.
Right.
I decided there's easily a show on the sitar.
Wait a minute. I inspired a show topic?
Believe it or don't.
Oh,
don't you feel good?
Yes, I do.
Let's talk about for an hour today. Let's talk about for an hour today the sitar. And I threw this puppy together in about 3 hours because I'll show him bring up the zither on this thing. We're going to talk not only about the sitar, we're going to talk about Dan Electro's electric sitar, and we're going to talk about what a lot of people would call the bass sitar, the tambora. Which to me has always sounded like something you got on the side, which you dip your bread into when the grape leaves come wrapped around the meat and the rice. So what was the first recording of the sitar in terms of pop music?
What is a sitar?
Oh, what is a sitar?
For those who may be drummers.
Not a bad question. Let me just play a song to say, this is what a sitar is.
Okay.
You say to somebody, what's a sitar? Let me play something. Let you hear what it sounds like. You'll know it as soon as you hear it, and then your brain will go, oh, this song, this song, this song, this song. Here's one by the Lemon Pipers called The Green Tambourine. A guy named Roy Wood played the sitar on this. A lot of people believe this is also one of the first songs in the movement of psychedelia, because not only does it have a sitar, Eastern, you know, instrument.
Sure.
It also has a tape delay effect where they go play, 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 my green tambourine. So the weird instrument you're listening to is a sitar.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll come back and we'll answer the question about which was the first one, which you so rudely interrupted me on.
Well, excuse me for trying to educate the audience. Not everybody knows what a sitar is.
Lemon Pipers, Rock School.
Silver in my tambourine.
Okay, green tambourine. That little thing is going guang, 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 guang.
Let me guess.
What is it?
It's a sitar.
That's a sitar.
Now,
there you
are. Sounds like a guitar. What's the difference between a sitar and a guitar?
Well, that's the question. Is he playing, Roy Wood, actually playing an electric sitar, which is this thing made by Dan Electro, it's a guitar company, or is he playing an actual sitar? A lot of times it's difficult to figure out whether it's a sitar which is an acoustic instrument.
Right.
Or if he's playing a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's guitar. It's not guitar. I don't know why I did that. Probably because sitar has the accent on the first syllable.
Does it make you mad when people call it a guitar?
Yes, it does. It irks me.
Is it sitar with an S or a C?
S.
Okay.
Okay, here is what a sitar actually is. Now, this is the acoustic instrument.
Okay.
It's an East Indian instrument,
mm-hmm.
and you have a wide neck mm-hmm. because it has to accommodate 13 strings.
13?
13 strings. There are no real set frets.
Okay.
The frets are actually pieces of string wrapped around the neck, mm-hmm. which can be untied and moved anywhere. So they can carry any note just up and down the neck.
Oh.
So if you want all whole tones, great. You want all half tones, great. You want quarter tones, great. Now, you can put the strings anywhere you want.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't the neck like extra long?
It is. It's wicked long.
Okay.
It's wicked long. Now, to play it, of the 13 strings, you really only play two of them.
Two of 13.
Right. And when you play a song with a sitar, you tune the main playable string
mm-hmm.
to whatever the tonic note is of the song you're going to play.
So if this song is in A,
we
get the top note to an A.
Then the next string up, you tune a fifth above.
Uh-huh.
So root and fifth. So it's like a power rock chord, what they call a power chord, a root and a fifth. So when you pluck those two strings, they play, you know, complementary tones to one another. Okay. What do the other 11 strings do? They simply harmonize. They're what's known as sympatric. They are tuned in different intervals, which is ridiculous to get into here.
Mm-hmm.
They just simply ring by the instrument being shook, by it playing, and they ring on harmonics, which gives this sort of otherworldly, harmonic, overtony, neat, cool sound to it. And that's what the instrument plays.
So you mean you don't have to touch them at all?
You're not supposed to. They're supposed to just ring open.
But if we're playing the song in A and we tune the top string to an A, we need to adjust
the other ones
accordingly.
Not a lot. You'll find a lot of songs that are actually played with a sitar stay a lot in the same key. As a matter of fact, they stay in the same notes. They stay in the same chord.
Well, that sounds easy. Get me one of those.
Oh, it's not as easy as you think it is.
I'll play that.
Go ahead and look up a guy named Ravi Shankar, R-A-V-I-S-H-A-N-K-A-R. He is generally seen as the sort of master of this instrument and a name people can sort of drop out of nowhere.
Shankar.
Shankar, actually. And don't do that.
What?
Don't do that. And you'll be able to sort of watch a real pro doing it.
Okay.
Now, coming up next, we'll get into what song was recorded first and what song was released first.
Okay.
But let's listen to a group play the actual piece. How about Redbone? Come and get your love. Like this, Rock School. You know, I did all of this research because you threw the word zither at me.
Well, I didn't.
That's what it is.
I didn't mean. Did I hinder you from doing something else important?
Yes.
What?
I didn't play with my children because of this.
Oh.
All right. Talking about the sitar here on Rock School. What was the first, when I say first, you got to know I'm talking about Western pop songs, you know, over in India, believe me, there were sitar songs.
The ever-popular Giant Shade of Grey that accompanies you in Joland.
Sure. What is the first Western pop song to feature the instrument? Sitar.
I don't know.
Now, this is an actual acoustic sitar. We'll get into the electric sitar here in a little bit, which is, again, a Danelectro instrument. It depends on what you consider first, and I'll let the Shade of Grey fall here.
Usually the number one.
Do you consider the first to be the first one recorded or the first one released?
Don't you have to record it in order to release it?
I understand, but one was recorded, but one was recorded about the same time, but released first.
Oh.
One was recorded first, but one was released first. Which do you consider first?
Recorded.
Okay. Then the first one, according to Chad, is the Yardbirds' Heartful of Soul.
Yes, I'll take that one.
Okay.
That's
they
my
brought
pick.
In a session sitar player to do the main riff from Heartful of Soul.
When was that?
What year was that? 65.
Okay.
If you consider the one which was released first, then you're dealing with the LP Rubber Soul from 1965, and it was the Beatles song Norwegian Wood. This bird has flown.
Dang, I got to go against the Beatles?
Yeah.
But it's both in 1965.
Yeah, see, there's your concern.
But that's silly. Like, we are recording this show right now.
Yeah.
Just because we don't release it out into the public or whatever doesn't mean that we weren't the first ones to do it.
Well, see, here's the question. Eddie Van Halen is known for doing all that two-hand tapping stuff in rock and roll.
Yeah.
There's a group called Angel that hustled to get a single, You Really Got Me, out before Van Halen got theirs out with two-hand tapping.
Yeah.
What if they succeeded and got that record out before Van Halen 1 came out?
Too bad, so sad, Ed.
Well, I don't know. You see, you don't hear a lot of that, you know, sitar from the Yardbirds, but from, you know, the Beatles, George Harrison specifically, you know, Love You Too, Within You, Without You, Tomorrow Never Knows, Across the Universe, The Inner Light, it's all over the place. He's known for sitar work.
Yeah, so the Beatles used it more, but the Yardbirds did it first.
Could be. So there's your piece of trivia. Depending on how you want to fight with it, I'm going to go with the one that came out first. Norwegian Wood. Says here Harrison, not to be different, because I like it that way.
Yeah.
Norwegian Wood came out first. How did he learn to play it? Well, on the set of the Beatles' second movie, Help, Harrison picked it up, started goofing around with it, and then later on met Ravi Shankar, who taught him how to actually play the instrument.
Shankar, all right.
There you go. This is Norwegian Wood. Don't do that here on Rock School. BJ Thomas, Hooked on a Feeling. By the way, that's Reggie Young actually playing the sitar there.
I understand we had to play that version for the sake of the topic, but for that's my money, it doesn't get any better than the cavemen.
You know, when I actually would go out with my wife, this is back when I was doing professional radio, and we would play at dances and such, I actually had people come up to me and request the song Ooga Chaka. Ooga Chaka.
Well, you know, that's got to be horrible whenever your opening riff defines your song.
And it's a remake, too. That's the thing. Would you play Ooga Chaka? No, I didn't bring the greatest hits of Land of the Lost with me. I'm sorry. I didn't bring Marshall, Will, and Holly to the dance with me. Ooga Chaka.
Whoever thought of that was great. That's genius.
Ooga Chaka. All right. By the way, there's a story behind what Ooga Chaka means, and it's not for radio consumption.
Oh, okay.
I know. As soon as we're done, you're running to the computer.
Yeah, I am.
Wikipedia carries it. All right. Hey, KLSU, thanks for running the radio show. When we come back, I'm going to quickly tell you how you're supposed to sit while holding the sitar, and it is not comfortable. I tried to do it, and I think I pulled a hammy.
Hello, KSCL in Shreveport, Louisiana. Do you know what the city motto in Shreveport is?
We play sitar.
No, Ooga Chaka.
Oh, no idea. I hate that. Get us on Facebook. Search Rock School Radio Show. I'm going to just get so upset. Back in a minute. Rock School. All right, as suggested, Chad ran and looked it up on the internet.
My.
Let's just say it starts at supposedly 31 seconds into the song.
Yeah, we can't talk about it, but I'm going to have it in my book.
Yeah.
I'm writing a book on the experiences recording Rock School.
Now, let's get back to the sitar. I mean, that's the topic at hand.
Supposedly, when you play the sitar, you're supposed to sit cross-legged on the ground, okay?
Uh-huh.
Sort of sit in that position.
Kind of like Indian snake charmer position?
That's right. Mm-hmm. However, you're supposed to sit in such a way that your right foot is under the instrument with the thing sitting on your foot. Look up a guy playing it. It looks like the most uncomfortable. I know.
You're trying to
I don't bend this way, man.
Trying to do yoga lattes over there.
As soon as I hit 40, I stopped bending in certain positions. And then you rest the instrument back here on your foot so it balances on your leg and your hands can move freely, not actually holding any weight of the instrument.
What happens if you start getting into the song and you want to tap your foot to the beat of the music?
By this point in time, my foot's asleep. I haven't the ability to tap it. Let's move along to the electric sitar.
Okay.
We'll start talking about it after this song. All I know is that for sure this song is an electric sitar. Here's Stevie Wonder. I was made to love her. You bet I was. Rock School. You know, while I was doing research for this show, I actually found, while looking into the Dan Electric guitar, the concept of the flat bridge, there's a company called EYB that makes a replacement bridge. If you have a stop tail on your guitar instead of a whammy bar, you can actually buy an EYB bridge to put on your guitar that will mimic the sound of a sitar.
Did you happen to price sitars while you were researching the show?
No, that's a good question.
I'd love to know.
I have no idea.
Where can I get one and how much do I have to pay?
What do you say we just shoot ourselves up onto eBay right after this while the next song's playing? Let's find out what a sitar actually costs.
Agreed.
I have no idea. Welcome to the bottom of the hour. My name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad Shanker.
We are Shankar. Monday, May 16th through Sunday, May 22nd. While I unclench my teeth, he has Monday.
May 16th, Monday, back in 1983, NBC airs Motown 25, and Michael Jackson shows off this dance called The Moonwalk to a national audience.
Tuesday, May 17th, 1975, Elton John's Captain Fantastic becomes the first LP to go platinum on the day of its release. Actually, it goes two times platinum.
Two times. Wednesday, May 18th in 1971, The Band launches their first European tour in Rotterdam.
Thursday, May 19th, a producer by the name of Dallas Austin, do you know him?
No.
Does work for Pink, Gwen Stefani, Madonna, that kind of thing.
The ladies
He's
man.
Jailed in Dubai.
Oh, is he now?
Yeah, like where are these places I don't want to be jailed? Dubai, for drug offenses. He pleads guilty and is granted a royal pardon by the state's ruling sheik.
How about that? Who gets pardoned by a sheik?
Apparently a sheik that digs Pink's music, you know?
Friday, May 20th in 1967, Reprise Records signs Jimi Hendrix.
Him? Who? Yeah. Saturday, May 21st, 1975, Elton John once again plays the first of eight nights in the USSR. 4,000 people come to see each show. And then Sunday, May 22nd, 40 years ago, the Rolling Stones album Sticky Fingers charts a four-week run at number one on the U.S. album chart.
Hey, why did you say that like that?
What?
USSR.
I was just playing around with the accent.
I'm playing around with the accent on Shankar, and you are getting more and more frustrated.
Well, you're not Russian. Moving along
Neither
to the electric,
are you!
Moving along to the electric sitar, we're going to play one here from a more recent group. I got one by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes.
This is on an electric sitar. This is the Red Hot Chili Peppers and one called Behind the Sun. Right here. Hillel Slovak plays it. Rock School. All right, let's continue with the electric sitar. A couple more things I want to tell you about. Already talked about the little buzz bridge, the flat bridge. That's what gives the strings the tone that goes along with that.
How do you plug the electric sitar into an amp?
Same way you do a regular
guitar. Quarter-inch cable?
Yeah, you got it. The same way you do a regular guitar, because it's meant to be played like a guitar. The neck is the same thing.
Where's the input at on the sitar?
I don't know. You can put it on the bottom or you can put it on the front, just the same way that a Strat has it on the front and Gibson has it on the bottom.
You're not answering a lot of my questions.
Yeah. Things are not good that way, are they? I've never played one. I've never touched a sitar. I don't know how to go about it.
And yet we are the rock experts.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. The top of the electric Dan Electro sitar is flat, and it's made out of masonite.
Masonite?
As in a kitchen countertop.
Why?
And there's a reason for it. Instead of being real pretty wood and countered and, you know, beautifully shaped and sculpted, it's flat because, just like the regular sitar, remember you played a couple strings and the other strings simply resonated and harmonized with it?
Yes.
There are, I believe, 13 strings on the electric sitar that are amplified. There's a pickup underneath them that, as you play the guitar, the resonance of the wood of the guitar, which I believe is basswood, it actually makes those strings ring to give the sound like a sitar of this, you know, non-earthy, wavy, gravy, additional sound going around it.
Cool deal.
Yeah, that's the reason it's there, and that's the reason it's flat. And you play it just like a sitar. Now, got to play one more, and we'll finish up with a third type of sitar, something known as a tambura. What are we going to play? I'll bet you never heard inside of Beck's Loser that there was a sitar.
There's no sitar in
Loser. Oh, yeah. Now, you'll hear the guitar that's played with a slide.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till he gets right through his rap sections. listen in the background, the producer of the song actually plays a sitar underneath it. This guy's name is Carl Stevenson, plays a sitar, and it's looped throughout the sections right after the raps. Listen closely, but it's in there. Here's Beck, Loser, Rock School. As Chad sits over there smiling like a Cheshire cat, I have been wrong so many times during this show. I'm wrong again. The sitar didn't play after the rap inside of Beck. It played when, Chad?
During.
Yes, because he said, I've never heard one of these things in there. Give me that song. And he was going to prove me wrong. It was in there.
Yeah, it is. It's while he's rapping, you can hear it in the background. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, darn it. But I had it in the wrong place. Okay, we ran to eBay and we looked up. Now, eBay, of course, isn't brand new instruments. Not always, of course, but we looked it up. An acoustic sitar with pickup, $330, was just about what it was. And there was some above it and some below it, but somewhere in the $330 to $350 range.
Correct.
A tambora, which is what we're going to talk about next, which is just think of it as a bass acoustic sitar, $300 to $450. And the higher it went up, the more ornate it was.
Yeah, but what do the electric sitar cost?
They started somewhere around $1,500 and went up to whatever you'd like to pay for them. Yeah, they went up there. But did you see what they looked like?
I saw
the strings. They look like guitars, and you saw
very similar to
additional
a guitar.
Strings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're going to take a break here. When we get back, we're going to start talking about the tambora. I'll tell you what it is and play a couple songs for you that have it inside of it. Hello, Radio Universidad, Salamanca, Spain. Hopefully, you are listening to the radio show.
Hello, WBSD in Burlington, Wisconsin. The sitar plays during the rap.
Yeah, thanks. You had to bring that up again, and we'll probably another time. Back in a minute, Rock School. All right, let's move along to our third one, the tambora. What is it? Think of it as a sitar. Hopefully, you know, if you're listening to this on a podcast, you've got a computer in front of you, you've gone out and you've looked at a sitar. Think of it just as a larger sitar. It has 4 to 6 strings, and it's big. Its whole purpose is to create low, droning notes.
Yeah, just when you thought they couldn't get any bigger.
Yeah, and it's just boom, boom, boom. Where am I going to hear this? Well, I'll make you bet you've heard it a few times, and you had no idea what it was. Think Street Fighting Man by the Rolling Stones. When you listen to it, Brian Jones is playing low droning notes. Now, I just finished up Life, which is the book by Keith Richards, and he talks about this song specifically, Street Fighting Man, and he says it's all acoustic instruments. This is all done without any electrically amplified instruments. Point a microphone and pick up the instruments.
Sure.
So you're listening to, at least I know in this one, an acoustic tambora. But listen to the low droning notes, especially in the chorus, and you'll hear a tambora played by Brian Jones. It sounds like this. Street Fighting Man, Stones on Rock School. All right, talking about the sitars here on Rock School today, but I'm going to break away from the sitar and talk to you about another kind of stringed instrument, because the next song has a tambora in it, but the song by Donovan is called Hurdy Gurdy Man.
Hurdy Gurdy Man.
Are you familiar with a hurdy gurdy?
No. Any idea? How am I supposed to know what that is?
Well, you threw out zither last week and knocked me over, so I'm going to throw out hurdy-gurdy this week. A hurdy-gurdy, to do this real quickly, a hurdy-gurdy kind of looks like a large box violin. Has a series of strings and then a series of, if you can think of it, a circular bow that you turn a crank and the circular bows basically are constantly being pulled against the strings.
What?
So it kind of looks like a, instead of dragging the bow back and forth across the string, think of a wheel that's constantly turning being touched against a violin string. So instead of the bow being pulled back and forth, the circle is constantly being put on the string. So it's a constant droning note.
Dude, that's not creative at all. You made that up.
No, I'm not. That's... Look it up. Hurdy-gurdy. H-U-R-D-Y-G-U-R-D-Y. And you know the reason I know so much about it?
How?
There's a company that sells kits that build all of these. You know those two guitars I've shown you that I built?
Yes.
The same company that sold me the kits that built those sells a hurdy-gurdy kit. And I'm thinking seriously about buying a hurdy-gurdy kit. Not that it has anything to do with this show. Here you go. Donovan, hurdy-gurdy man. Listen for the low droning notes. It's a tambora. Rock School. Well, didn't believe me, did you, young man?
I have never seen nor heard of that apparatus.
Yeah, the hurdy-gurdy. So if you haven't seen it, here's what you need to do, folks. First of all, look up zither. So this guy over here, Chad, will be happy.
It's a real instrument.
It is. Look up sitar. Look up the electric sitar. Do this all on YouTube. Look up the tambora. And then look up the hurdy-gurdy, H-U-R. Yeah, I think you spelled it with E to begin with.
Yeah.
Because you'd never heard of it before. H-U-R, hurdy-gurdy, and you'll find people playing it. Hmm. It's not a very pretty instrument, I'll tell you that.
Oh, no, it looks like a giant, just
What I meant is pretty. It doesn't sound pretty. Maybe it's just the way they recorded it, but I got to tell you what, there's a reason why there's not much hurdy-gurdy inside of the song Hurdy-Gurdy Man.
You're sitting over there on your high horse like you done stumped me or something.
No,
don't you realize that you're older than me, so you've got more experience? You've seen this kind of stuff. I'm 31. You're what, 48?
Six.
Oh,
thank you very much. And I'm not happy that I stump you. I'm joyful.
Joyful.
We got one more to go, and we'll wrap it up. This is the Kinks and their song Fancy, and it uses a very calm sitar through the out of it, and I believe it's an acoustic sitar just by the way it is recorded.
And
so that wraps up the sitar show.
And the lead guy for the Kinks.
Yeah, Ray Davies.
I thought he plays it, right?
I would assume he does, but I've no guarantee on that. He could have brought in an acoustic player.
Like Shankar.
Ah, Shankar.
Bless you.
I'm Joe Burns.
Chad P.
Gonna throw my pen at his head. Class is dismissed.
Fancy. If you believe in what I believe.